Welcome to the Land Geek Podcast, your resource for information and tips to making money by buying and selling land. Let the Land Geek show you how to make a passive income by working smart, not working hard. Learn strategies and tricks to make money buying and selling raw land today. And here's the man that's going to help you do that, the Land Geek.
Hey, it's Mark Podolsky from www.thelandgeek.com. Your favorite niche real estate land flipping website. And today, you've been missing him. I've been missing him. Back from a big road trip, I think, which we're very excited to hear about. Juran Fraser, reserveland.com, landhub.com. What's up? What's up?
Everybody just settle down. As excited as Mark is, the truth is that Mark has been taking medication to get him more upbeat and more excited about me being on the show. I've had a long week, which included a little bit of injuries and a little bit of travel.
You went up to Elko?
Went up to Elko and Battle Mountain, correct.
So what's going on? The minerals?
Yeah, working on the mining project. Just finalizing a portion of some of the leases and which will sort of catapult us into, which we've talked about in the last few weeks, but catapult us into our first round of financing, which we hope to close in about 6 weeks. So
fantastic. Hey, you know about that Clive Bundy, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So
he's my uncle.
Uncle Bundy.
Uncle Bundy.
Uncle Clive. Yeah. So this guy, in case you don't know, he made national news. He, for years, refused to pay BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, to use their federal land for his cows to graze on for the land lease, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the federal government, in all their wisdom, wanted their money. And they came and they had like this crazy standoff and it got violent. And, you know, the government didn't want to have another Waco, so they went off. But the guy was breaking the law, correct? And then he went on and said some racist things, which really didn't help anyone at all. So, but, you know, what's interesting is for years and years, I used to get money on land leases from a couple of ranchers out there to let their cows graze.
Yeah. You know, what's funny, Mark, is that, you know, if this wasn't recorded, I'd probably say a little bit more than I should say. I've done a little bit of research. How about closeness? I know a little bit more involved in what's going on with this whole Clive Bundy situation, because it's more of a state issue. There's some senators involved. There's some senators' children involved. It kind of comes down to what I believe to be that the picture is painted a little differently in the media than what's really truly happening. After researching some stuff, as you know, may know, I'm kind of involved in the solar industry a little bit, so I know a little bit of what's going on a different side. But there was some ground that Rory Reed was involved with in Southern Nevada.
Wait, who's Rory Reed?
That's the son of Harry Reed.
Oh, okay.
And it was basically the BLM, I think, was selling some property. I don't know the exact specifics of the what happened, but long story short is they sold the property for like 20 cents a dollar. And of course, Rory Reed got, you know, first right of refusal or however it worked. What I've heard is that Harry Reed and Rory Reed were working together on basically getting, the rights to some of this BLM land for a large solar project.
Okay.
And so the reason why they went after Clive is because Clive's 500 or 1,000 cattle were grazing on land within this specific area,
right?
Which could have potentially been a problem if they're putting solar panels. So the reasoning, if you type in like Rory Reed and Clive Bundy, you'll see, of course, Rory Reed got on mainstream media and discussed the fact that he had nothing to do with it. But it's cronyism at its finest, and we don't want to talk politics. But there's a little bit more than meets the eye. and it's a little bit of sad of a sad situation for the Clive Bundy ranchers and that kind of stuff. But anyway, so I did a lot of research into what's going on. There's still a bunch of militiamen down there, which is really interesting.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. So. All right. Well, I think as far as our listeners are concerned about making money with raw land, what do you think of the idea of actually going after these, you know, these land leases and working with these ranchers that, you know, you go after the parcels where, you know, maybe the ranchers having some issues. They can't afford the property anymore. They can't afford the property taxes, but they sure wouldn't mind paying on a grazing lease.
You know what? Do you want my honest opinion or do you want me to?
No lie.
Okay, I'm going to lie. That's a great idea, Mark.
It's a terrible idea?
Terrible idea.
Okay.
Grazing leases don't pay a whole lot of money, Mark. In fact, the grazing lease will pay about $1 per acre per year.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. You're right. $1 per acre per year?
Correct.
That's terrible.
You're right. And I'm surprised for a guy who's been getting paid land leases over the years, I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Well, it's been several years, and I just remember, you know, I'd get like $1,000.
Wow. That's a nice check. I haven't got one of those before from a rancher. I've leased a lot of ground that have turned into payments that never showed up. But the interesting part is, and you know, it kind of brings me into a topic that we haven't discussed before, which is agricultural deferment, and especially in a state like Nevada. When you have a lease in place on a property, generally you will negotiate a deal with a rancher. The rancher will pay you a negotiated rate to utilize your property and lease it for grazing rights now, or for a grazing lease, so their cattle can, you know, walk on your land and eat whatever's there. Generally speaking, it's not a ton of money. It's about $1 an acre. And from what I found, that's pretty standard. And I may be wrong, but, it's a lease that's basically can be nullified at any point in the contract, but the benefit is it reduces your yearly taxes. So puts you into agricultural deferment status. So the good news is you have a cheaper property taxes. The bad news is you have cows grazing your land, which isn't a big deal, and you get a small check every year. So it's kind of a win-win. And if you don't get your check, it's still a win-win because you get less property taxes on your property in ag deferment.
Yeah. Ag deferment's great if you can get it.
Yep.
It's great. But when we did our deal, we had to pay 7 years back taxes, correct, to get it out of agricultural deferment. It wasn't cheap to get out. You had to take it out of agricultural deferment when we cut it up, when we subdivided it.
Correct. So that's
but still, the numbers made sense even after. We're not talking about a whole lot of money here.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, when your margins are 1,000%, it's really, really, really hard to find anything that's gonna get in there and cause a big problem.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, let's talk about speed. Money loves speed. You know what I mean by that?
If you're not talking about the drug, no.
I'm not talking about the drug. I'm talking about whenever you get some type of idea, a deal, not to wait on it, not to let things go, right? Don't wait for the perfect time to do anything when it comes to opportunity. So I'll give you an example. You get your accepted purchase agreement back in the mail, right? And you take your time getting back to the seller. You wait maybe a day or two before you hand that off to your VA, start doing your due diligence, creating your maps. What should you do, Duran?
Well, first off, Mark, you know, it just reminded me of a time when we were on a podcast and you said, I don't check my emails throughout the day. I do it once a day. And I said, Mark, but these people need...
That's time management.
No!
That's time management.
It's speed, baby. It's speed. Okay, so let me just...
An email's not going to make me any money. There's no opportunities in email. That's simply time-wasting communication.
What if it's a lead?
What do you mean, what if it's a lead?
What if it's a lead? What if you went?
All right, fine. You know what? You're right. Fine. I'm gonna ruin my productivity for my whole day like a slot machine waiting, checking email every 3 seconds, like a ferret on a double cappuccino, no attention span, just in case there's a lead?
Did I say every 2 minutes?
You said check your email. My emails are going off all the time.
I check my emails probably five, six times a day. And if there's a lead, it takes precedence, Mark.
Five or six times a day. That, I guarantee you spend every 5 minutes checking your email.
I don't. And you know what else I did on my cell phone? I actually have to forcibly check my email. So I have to slide down on Gmail and let it run its cycle because it doesn't automate. So I do it because then I don't have to check it every 2 minutes. I'll check it every half hour or an hour or 4 hours, depending on my meetings. Like today, I had meetings from, 12 o'clock to, right now it's 4 o'clock. I had meetings. And so in the meetings, I checked it one time.
Okay. Well, I'm going to rephrase then.
Okay.
Because money loves speed. Money loves opportunity, right? I don't consider checking email and, that type of activity productive at all. No one's ever made a dollar checking email.
You should run for Congress, bro.
My point is that this is it, right? Is that when an opportunity hits, don't wait on it. You get a purchase agreement in, call that seller, let them know what the closing process is and that you're going to close quickly. Money loves speed. You get that deal in, right? Process it quickly. Get it up on Craigslist. Start advertising it right away. Don't wait. That's what I mean by money loves speed. You get a great marketing idea, test it immediately. Implement it immediately. Don't let it wait. In fact, that's what I mean.
Okay, fair enough.
You read a good headline. You're reading a real estate blog, a real estate article, and you like the headline. Take that headline and test it immediately. Don't wait on things is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you disagree?
No, I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
So give me an example that where you've used that, because I know you're quick with things.
I am. It's funny because I don't know if there's anybody on the planet faster than me at response time. I tried to go by, Mark had a system where I kind of wanted to go by, hey, look, let's check my emails in the morning at 8 a.m., respond to them, and then get back to them either in the afternoon, later in the afternoon, or the next day. And I thought, well, the dynamic for me is I'm so fast at typing, although I'm not right now because I have a broken left pinky. I'm so fast at responding that I prefer to just have the check the box 5 or 6 times a day, get back to my emails, and that's just my cycle. So each person is different, right? I mean, I just like the way I operate, and it's not a detriment to the way I do business. I still stay focused. I still stay on task. But like Mark said, speed is everything, right? I get people, like in the car business, they talk about a lead being hot. Like when someone's ready to buy a car, when someone's ready to buy a piece of land, you got to get back to them because the emotional aspect of the buyer is they're ready to commit.
Right. And
commitment is 99.9% of the equation. And when they're ready to commit, it's a great time to capture that lead. When the longer the time goes, the commitment goes away. So,
right. Same thing with selling.
Yep.
You've got to hit people when they're hot. So what I see a lot happen with, and I was like this, was I would kind of have the attitude, I'll get to it. I'd have an idea and I might write it down like, a different marketing channel or a different way of, handling the process of closing, like, something that might make me more efficient, but it wasn't in my headspace right away. It wasn't in the forefront of what I was doing. So I would just kind of like forget about it. Like, that's what I find in myself is that if I don't implement things right away, they don't get done. And if I push it off to an employee or a virtual assistant and I don't give them a 24-hour deadline, they forget about it. What's your experience with that?
I completely agree with you. I mean, my experience is the same thing. I mean, communication is key in every aspect. Right. And and the faster the communication, the better. So I'm right there with you, Mark.
All right, great, great. So what else is going on with you in your deals?
Well, one of my deals is trying to figure out if I can bend my left pinky. So that's a special deal for me. I was in Nevada all of last week. I was picking up some property, looking at some mining stuff, a little bit of everything last week. I took my poor wife and kids. I took my wife with me and my kids. You know, anytime you put two kids that are super creative like their daddy in an RV for 5 days straight and you cover 2,000 miles, there's going to be some issues. It was only two black eyes. My poor dog.
Oh no.
Oh man, I tell you, it was a lot. It was fun though. We went from Pismo Beach in like Central Cal up to Tahoe, and Tahoe was a super late. I mean, you don't get very many May snows, and it snowed. And then we went over to Reno for a couple of days, out to Battle Mountain and Elko area, and then we drove home straight from Battle Mountain in one day, which was awesome. So all in the RV, and my poor wife was like, I don't know what I was thinking. And I said, I know what you were thinking. You wanted to be with your awesome husband for 6 days straight. So that six was fun. Interesting. You know, again, one of the funny things that every time I go to an auction or a place and buy land, I learn new things. And I learned something new this week that just, you know, the little things that land can do for you. And one of them was a guy that bought a piece of land that I was trying to acquire. He bought it for the same reason I did, but he had a different purpose. So I bought this piece of land because it was on the freeway, on the Interstate 80. And Interstate 80 in Northern Nevada is the corridor. It's tons of traffic. There was a 35-acre parcel right on the highway. And wow. I wanted it for one reason, to advertise my property and others.
Right, right.
And Land Hub. And so this guy, I asked him at the end of the auction, why did you buy the property? And he said, because I'm putting up a billboard.
But how much did he outbid you at?
It was absurd. He paid a lot of money for the property. I just kept my card up until I decided it wasn't no longer worth it for me.
Right.
And he wasn't that. He could have had it for $1,000 for 35 acres, but it was a good deal. But I just made him pay for it. Sure. So long story short is, but he wasn't. His business wasn't to put a billboard up. His business was to market his RV park and his mobile home park. And
no kidding.
So in reality, his mindset was exactly what my mindset was not to market this specific property, but to market something else.
Right.
So it gave me the idea again that how valuable land is, because if your land is in the middle of nowhere, you know, and no one's driving by it, well, then you can't really use it for advertising. But if you're buying land and it's on a thoroughfare and there's nothing being done with the property, you could probably lease it to somebody for advertising, but you've got to be careful because there's billboard rules. He has to get permit to put a billboard up. But for me, for Land Hub, if it's listed on Land Hub, I can put a property sign up. So it's going to be a really intriguing situation especially for my company to start buying pieces of land or leasing, or in exchange for advertising on Land Hub. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. So you're telling me with billboard rules, as long as they're advertising it on an advertising hub, they can put a billboard up?
Not a billboard, but a like let's say that, you dude, Mark, it's just a standard real estate sign, right?
Right.
Remax is listing, or Century 21 is listing your property. They can put a 4x8 foot sign on your property, marketing your property, but they're also branding themselves.
I see. So, okay.
In this case, this guy's mobile home park isn't on the property. It's down the way, 3 or 4 miles. So he has to get a permit to put up his his billboard.
Is that tough to get?
Yes, very tough. He told me even in a small county, tough to get.
Really? How long does it take? What's the cost? You know,
maybe 6 months to a year before he'll have his billboard up.
So, really?
Yeah. And this is a small town, dude. So
that doesn't sound good. What about oil and gas leases? You know much about those?
Nope. Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. I do know that if you have oil or gas on your property,
yep,
you can lease it.
Wow, Mark. That's unbelievable, dude. You know, that's one reason why I love podcasting with you, is because you enlighten me.
I mean, that was that. You're not going to hear anything wiser come out of my mouth.
Wow.
Yeah. There, you know, but there's all these different strategies with oil and gas leases. I'm gonna start learning more about them, and then I will have something a bit more insightful to say.
I know a lot more about, I know a lot of, obviously, about mining leases, which
I would assume they're very similar.
They are, but they're in northern, in every state, the rules are different. What can and can't be separated, how they're separated, etc. But in northern Nevada, I think you can separate just about every right. So mining rights, oil and gas, geothermal. I bought in one case, I bought geothermal rights outright. So there's a lot of aspects. No,
wait, why would you buy geothermal rights outright?
Because
what's the benefit?
A company came to me looking to lease the rights. It was a stupid move for me because at the time I didn't know that I'm still paying a royalty based on the rights. So I could have just leased them and had the same effect. But having them, at least if 7 years down the line, and I mean, if you're leasing something and then nothing happens in 2 years, you let it go. If you own something, you still have it. So,
right. Now, do you remember that deal that we did with the geothermal company? And the CEO contacted us and he needed an easement through our property.
I'll tell you a funny story. Keep going.
You remember that deal?
I remember it very well. And I just met with them last week.
No kidding.
Yep.
They're still in business.
No, they're not.
They're not in business. Okay. Well, this is several years ago. These guys contact us and they just want to pay for an easement for our property. Well, easements are like, how much do you get paid for an easement? Probably less than you do for grazing rights. You don't get much to grant someone an easement through your property. So I said, no, you can't have an easement. You can buy the property. So we negotiated for not very long. They needed that. They had to have the property to do their project. So I wouldn't say – I didn't gouge them. I'll be honest. I really didn't, even though I could have. But I made a huge, huge killing on that deal.
That's pretty funny, Mark. I'll tell you what happened to me, because I think that was right around the time you and I parted ways for a little while, and I went on a hiatus from land for a little while.
Right.
I sold an easement. I did not sell the land initially because the property wasn't fully subdivided yet.
Okay.
So they had to buy an easement for me. So I negotiate an easement with this guy. And then I go to the table. And this is about, gosh, almost 6 years ago.
Yeah, this is the CEO of they went public, a Canadian company, right?
The public company. I'm not going to name names.
Yeah, don't name names.
So the CEO decides that he's going to, for me, when I'm signing the documents, fly out. I negotiated, Mark, for an easement of like 100 feet. I negotiated the easement for $15,000. Okay.
Okay.
And just so you understand, like what I did, so which I didn't think was a big deal, right? Like they came at me at $7,500, and I bumped them to $15,000, and I said, "Okay," and everything was kosher. We signed the deal.
Right.
Then the day I go to sign, this guy flies in on his private jet, the CEO, and sits at a board table for me to sign the documents. And he looks at me. My wife is 8 months pregnant with my first son, and he says to me, "Yeah, $15,000 it's not going to happen, bro." Oh, Mom, that's great. And there's seven people at a board table. I'm in my sweatpants. My wife's 8 months pregnant. And I'm a nice guy. Like generally speaking, when it comes to business, I'm a very nice, honest, ethical man. I'm a man that stands by my word. And the guy looks over at me and he goes, "It's just not going to happen." I said, "I got a question for you." I said, "Without my easement, is your project even viable?" And I look over to one of the project managers. He goes, "Yeah, no, it's not." And I said, "Great. Hey, you know what, sir? Have a great day. Thank you for your time. We're gonna take off." So,
I love it.
My wife looks at me. She's like, "Holy!" She felt the tension in the room.
Right.
We got up and I walked. And then, wait, Drake, come back. Long story short is, not only did he pay the $15,000, but I forced him to buy the property at an astronomical price.
Right.
And sign the papers right there, just because he wanted to play. I'm gonna fly in my private jet, negotiate over $7,500. Which is probably what the fuel cost to get there.
Right.
And tell me that he's not going to do a deal. So.
Yeah. He probably looked at you and thought, "Oh, you know, this young kid in sweatpants and a pregnant wife doesn't know anything."
I was 29 years old. I was young. And yes, That's exactly what he thought. And so funny enough, and I'm dumb enough to stick a bunch of money into his company after the fact, because I believed there was a lot of potential. And then I lost the money. That all comes full circle. I had a meeting last week with some of the guys that were in that room with me that day. And it just so happens that we may actually be doing business together. So
on the mining.
No, on a solar project. On a solar project. So it's just very interesting. That's why one thing I always tell people when it comes to business is don't sell yourself short, number one. Number two is, you know, have integrity when you do business. Be respectful, be honest, be truthful. People will work with you. And these guys, I mean, it's the potential that I have to work with these guys is very interesting. It's a very lucrative deal that I have right now on the table, which is a game changer from an alternative energy perspective, which I didn't have last week. Because he liked me and he knew that I had financing in place for big projects. He came to me and said, listen, I met with him. I stopped by. I hadn't seen him in 4 years, called him up. Hey, how's it going? He said, oh, come check out the new office. So you've always got to, you know, in business, just generally speaking, have integrity, be honest and truthful. People like to do business with people that do business the right way.
They do. And we're going to talk a lot about this in Vegas. Vegas is coming up.
You mean you're going to talk, Mark? I'm sitting in the back.
Duran is going to network. There will be plenty of time to talk to Duran. Plenty of Q&A. But I will be speaking most of the
time. That's going to be so boring. I'm going to
if everybody gets bored, I'll bring Duran up.
I got a question for you. Did you get my message today by chance that when I called you?
Who called?
When I called you today, did you get my message?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that not the most beautiful message you'd ever heard?
Don't
repeat what happened, but did you like my idea?
It was great.
Okay. We're going to do that at the convention.
All right.
I have some good ideas for Mark at the convention. That's going to make everything a lot more enjoyable because Mark is truly the land geek. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Yeah. It's not like I'm giving out blackberries.
No.
All right. Well, listen, if you haven't signed up for Vegas, it's May 30th and 31st. Get there on the night, that Thursday night, the 29th. We're starting early on the 30th. We're going all day till about 5:30. Open bar. We're going to be auctioning off land. If you're there, free piece of land. Auctioning off a surface too. Duran's going to be there. Duran, the man. We can talk about mining.
I'll have my security team in place.
His security team will be in place. It's going to be a great, great event, and I'm not going to hold anything back. It's going to be fantastic. Even though Duran thinks I'm going to bore everybody to tears, I guarantee I won't. I'm prepared. It's going to be great. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, what's the site to get tickets at?
Landconvention.com.
Go to landconvention.com, and
we're you know what? Get
your tickets.
We've lowered prices just for the next couple of days. Just kind of a special for our listeners. So if you're interested, get on there and buy your tickets.
All right, great. And now it's time to put you on the spot because I love it.
Come on, Mark. Don't do it, Mark. How about you? I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your tip of the week, Mark?
You're putting me on the spot? You got to. This is my podcast.
No, it's not. I just put you on the spot. I hijacked you.
I can't. This is not going to happen.
No. Okay, I've got a good one. So,
all right.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. So, as you guys all know, the aspect of contracts is one portion of the land deal that makes it difficult, right? Having to send out contracts, getting back notarized, that kind of stuff. I found that there's a couple things. One is there's a new product by Adobe called EchoSign. That's ECHOSIGN.
Yeah, I know EchoSign. You like them better than DocuSign?
No, but they're a different solution. You get 2 weeks free to try it out. So it's one place to go. And then there's also another place called NotaryCam.com.
NotaryCam.com. Let me check it out.
Notary Cam allows you to notarize documents online with a camera.
No kidding.
Dude, don't get excited, Mark.
I'm excited. This looks great. Notary Cam allows you to electronic sign documents with live notary public
get
in
changed,
minutes.
Baby.
Instead just, of days? Are you kidding me?
I just changed the game with Mark.
Wait a second. How is this legal?
I
Something doesn't look right.
Mark, this is my new business, bud. What do you think?
All right, says, and this is, I'll tell you what, I'm investing in this company. Is Notary Cam's online notarization legal? The Commonwealth of Virginia signed the legislation. This groundbreaking legislation authorizes Virginia certified e-notaries to legalize any document, anytime, from anywhere, via secure remote video audio technology. Wait a second.
Look at, read the bottom, California. And in California, for example, it's found that any certificate of knowledge taken in another place shall be sufficient in this state if it's taken according to the laws of the place where knowledge is made. Booyah!
Oh my gosh, $20 for electronic notarization.
The game has changed, Mark Padilla.
This is a lot less than Notary Pro.
The game has changed.
This can't be right. This is the best tip. By the way, the podcast is done. Because we're not gonna beat this tip. This is the ultimate tip. When did you find this? This can't be right.
I started it last year. This is my company.
Because I've been complaining about notaries and how we should have e-notarize for a long time. These guys found a loophole.
They found a loophole, and not only they found a loophole, but I'm gonna see if I can secretly find a way to take them into Land Hub and sort of make them a portion of the contract aspect of the site. So
okay, this I'm not even do a tip of the week. This is so good. Notarycam.com. Holy cow.
We're going to Sizzler, baby.
Dran, I don't think this is right. This can't be right.
It's right, baby.
For $20, they're live notary, e-notary will confirm your ID, e-sign your document. Dran, I don't think this is gonna work right. Because I don't think you can. I don't think the recorder is going to accept an e-notary. I'm scared.
Be scared, Mark.
You try it first, and then I'll do it.
No, you try it first.
I'll try it first, and then I'll get kicked back. You're going to pay me $20, by the way, if it doesn't work.
No way.
Fine. I'll do it. Notarycam.com. That's a game changer. I mean, that saves time. That saves money. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really, I mean, from our purposes, I don't know though. Like, we'll talk about this more in Vegas.
You are baffled and confused, but I love it because I finally got you thinking, buddy.
I am baffled and confused, but I'm not sure I'm loving this right now. Okay. I'll look more into it, but everybody check out notarycam.com. All right. I think that's a good podcast. What do you think? Are we good?
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, Mark, you know what we should do is create a podcast Facebook page so that our listeners, which just so you all know, the list, like we always check, like not always, but like once every week or two, check on the listing and whether it's improving or declining. And we obviously have continually improved because Mark and I spend way too much giving way too much free information for free, but we want people to engage and interact with us. So maybe we create a Facebook page, Mark.
It's all you. I'm all over it. I love it. Okay. You know, you can always go to my Facebook page, The Land Geek.
Yeah, but that's, again, boring.
It's facebook.com/TheLandGeek. Like The Land Geek. All right.
That's funny. So anyways, Mark, I had a question for you, but I just forgot it. Go ahead.
All right. Well, listen, if you want to learn more, go to www.thelandgeek.com. Download the Passive Income Blueprint. Get the ebook, How to Avoid the Three Fatal Land Buying Mistakes. We've got other cool bonuses in there when you register, which I don't want to talk about because they're cool and they're secret and they're bonuses. So do that. And look, if you want to buy some wholesale land, give Duran some love. Go to reserveland.com. Advertise your properties at landhub.com. If Duran doesn't have anything you want, go to frontierpropertiesusa.com. And don't forget to go to landconvention.com. Get your tickets. Duran's discounting them there. We'll see everybody in Vegas. Duran, anything else you want to say?
No, just we love the listeners. We appreciate all the feedback, and we'll see you in Vegas.
Yeah, leave us feedback, and let us know if you want to set up a Facebook page on Facebook. All right, see everybody next week. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Land Geek. Join us next time for more tips, secrets, and information that will help you succeed. Stay connected with The Land Geek on Facebook at facebook.com/TheLandGeek.